is true. One girl called me up. She said, Pastor Wayne, my boyfriend said if I don't keep sleeping with him, he gonna kill himself. I said, give him the gun. If sex with you is more important than getting his life together, respecting you to the point where he's gonna give him the gun. That's just a joke, all right? Because I know some of you can write me letters. What did you tell? Murder him. You want murder him?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. You know, Jesus once spoke of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Not always an easy thing to do, since we really don't have much control over who moves in next door. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of taking our love to a whole new level. Here he is with a message entitled, Upgrading Our Love.
Well, let's take out our notes. We're going to talk about upgrading our love. How many of you could stand a little bit of upgrading in your love? Raise your hand. Yeah, good. There's some wives raising their husband's hand. Raise your hand, Henry. Raise your hand. You need one upgrade for sure. But it's not the most popular thing to do to upgrade your love because it takes work. We'd rather stay at a quality of love that's touted by the media that seems so blissful and romantic, but you don't see that that kind of love that's filled with emotion will never sustain long-term relationships. And it's fine for the camera, but you take a look at it, 99% of all of the love kind of romantic things, they're never between a husband and wife. It's always an illicit kind of thing that's one night stands, and then it's just, you learn wrong things when we think that's the way love is. And so you see it in our culture today, it's just all misbalanced, it's all unbalanced. And in fact, I think one of the worst, for me anyway, to me, one of the worst television shows is reality TV shows. That is so unrealistic. They call it reality, it should be unreality shows. It should be, no way is this reality. I mean, when was the last time you can choose your bride from a hot tub of five babes that just walked out of Glamour magazine? And they're all, they think you're amazing. Oh, you know? And then he starts disqualifying them one at a time. Oh, not you, you disqualify, you go on wrinkle on your neck. You're out. Your clothes too baggy. You're out. You don't kiss me good enough. You're out. You don't make me feel excited. You're out. And then they choose like the best of the best and they live happily ever after, as you think. But all you gotta do is wait a few years and she's gonna have a wrinkle on her neck and her clothes gonna be baggy. She's not gonna kiss him real good and he's not gonna feel always excited about her. And so it's always like this love that's just wrong. It doesn't sustain anything. And then we point out features that are faulty in the other person. Little does he know that once his once big chest is now a mudslide over his belt, and his bottom came loose and is following behind him at about the level of his calves. You know, we forget that we all get a little older and we're gonna need a love to sustain us through the years, and the only way you're gonna do it is upgrade your love. Otherwise, you'll take a junior high love to the altar and it's going to be filled with false expectations, impetuous reactions, and we're going to marginalize each other and punish one another with our moods like we used to do in junior high. And you look at marriages today with the same grade of love. And we punish each other with our moods and our emotions, and we marginalize each other, and we get on the opposite sides of the war-drawn line, and we try to change each other. And we've not upgraded our love at all. Today's lesson, today's word for us, is God is saying, in order for us to have a love that's quality, is we've got to upgrade it, lest we build life on a low quality of love taught to us by the world, and it will never sustain anything of life for the long term. The junior high love that we have gets into a puppy love that's filled with emotions and also filled with immaturity and a lot of over expectations. And then it goes from puppy love into kitty love or cat love. You know what that is? When a cat kind of rubs on your leg, you think, oh, that cat loves me so much. That cat doesn't love you. That cat is loving itself off your leg. And if your leg wasn't there, any leg will do. Isn't that right? And we think that that's love. Oh, and that's not. This is a serve me kind of thing. And I'll love you so long as you make me feel good, make me feel like a hero, do things that I want you to do, say things I want you to say. And we have this kind of junior high love, and it will never sustain anything of life in the long run. But upgrading love isn't popular. You know why? Because there's going to be times in upgrading your love to a more mature love that's stronger. It's going to require maybe less emotion and more just choice. There's going to be times in upgrading your love, it's going to require less feeling and more character. In some seasons, it's going to require less blissful romance and more just pure work. It's going to require less overcome your mistake and more overlooking one another's mistakes. It's going to require less of me and more of you, because the world doesn't revolve around my wants. It's going to require less of what delights me and more what delights God. Less of who's right and more of what's right. And you're going to have to add to the vocabulary of love words like honesty, forgiveness, maturity, wholesome thinking, patience, communication, and serving the other person, regardless of how you feel about it. That is a matured love. It's a love of choice. Otherwise, when you no longer serve me or do what I want you to do, then forget it then. Just forget it. That's that junior high kind of love that we never upgrade and mature out of. It's okay to have it in junior high, not okay when you're getting married. And so all of these things have to upgrade if we're going to have a love that sustains relationships, our faith, our marriage, our family. You say, well, how do you do that? You know, I think my favorite story of just this kind of love that breaks down when you no longer serve me is a story about a wife that brings her husband. He's real debilitated. And she brings him into the hospital and says, "Doctor, what's wrong with my husband?" The doctor looks at him and says, "Man, your husband's dying." And so he checks him out. And then he said to the husband, "You need to go back to the car. I need to talk to your wife alone." So he sends the husband back to the car and he sits in the passenger seat and waits for his wife. And he says to the wife, "Your husband's dying for lack of love." She said, "What?" "Yes, you got to tell him you love him. If he deserves it, I might. But other than that, no." No, you got to tell him anyway. "How?" "Well, when he comes home, give him a massage." "A massage?" She says, "Yes. And take off his shoes, give him tea or something and speak well of him." So she walks out of the hospital and sits behind the car, the steering wheel, and thinks for a while. And he's sitting in the passenger side. And the husband says, "Well, what did the doctor say?" She looked at him and said, "He said you're going to die." We got to learn to serve one another with our love. Well, that's why Paul the Apostle says in the book of Philippians, we've got to upgrade our love. It's a growing thing. In fact, let's read together at the top of our notes what he says in Philippians 1:9. Let's read it together out loud. Go. "I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." Would you underline knowledge and discernment? If Paul says that your love needs to grow in knowledge and discernment, what he's suggesting is that there's a bunch of us that have a love that is not according to knowledge, and we have a love that's not very discerning. And so would you write in, number one, we need to upgrade to a love that is knowledgeable and discerning. Knowledgeable and discerning. If you have trouble with your spelling, it's right up here on the board, right here. Yeah, knowledgeable and discerning. So he's suggesting that there are many people that have a love, possess a love that's not according to knowledge. It's not very knowledgeable. And it's not very discerning. But what's discerning? Discerning is simply discriminating between what's right and wrong. Being able to discern between or understand between or see the difference between what is just a facade or an image and what has content and substance. Whether or not somebody's nice words really are fulfilled with track record, and maybe someone's great track record is even better, even though he doesn't have the words. You can discriminate between, there's a discernment. And knowledgeable, you understand that the love that you have has to be according to knowledge, knowing what God says, what's right, what's best for our future. Otherwise, you can be taken for a ride and think you're in love, but it's not a love according to knowledge and discernment. Because there's many people that have a misdefinition of love, and it's not very knowledgeable, not very discerning. And if that's the kind of love that we carry into even more our adult years, you will be going down rabbit trails of dead ends, and you will waste years going down dead ends. Well, it happens even in our devotion to Christ. There's some people that have a great zeal for God. And you think, man, this guy must be the next prophet Elijah. He's so devoted to God. But sometimes it's according not to knowledge, but to zeal. Let's read what we find here in the book of Romans. Would you read with me Romans 10 and verse 2? Go. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. Yeah, they're really zealous for God, but they don't know what they're doing. They're going to run into a wall and they're going to bail out. The ones that are super devoted today, you'll see next month, they don't even go to church. They're out of the faith completely. And you think, wait a minute, he was over here. What's he doing over here? Because sometimes even our devotion to God, if it's not based on knowledge and discernment, you will bail out of it. That's why times like this is so important. Because you start to fill your faith with more knowledge and understanding and discernment. So faith is like the carrier, but now you got to fill it with content. So you add to your faith, Peter says, you have got to add to your faith brotherly kindness and discernment and morality and so many other things. So it becomes a full faith, not just a religious faith that has nice trappings of religion, but it's filled with the content of character and discernment and knowledge. Because if you don't, I mean, you're going to get taken for a ride, especially young girls. I see some that are just so pretty and they're just wonderful, filled with life. And they fall head over heels for these losers that are just, I think, where did this guy, what rock did he crawl out from under? I mean, these guys, you know, they're on dope and they got one nostril this big from snorting cocaine. And then they kind of ran and tackled with a stapler and lost, you know, and it's got holes here and staples all over his body, dresses in black. And it's just kind of stoned all the time. And the girl says, yeah, he's my boyfriend. Boyfriend, yeah. How, you love him? I love him. How come? He said I was pretty. I said, the guy's a loser. Come on. No, he likes me, so I'm with him all the time. I live with him. I said, wait a minute. Guy's a loser. Do you love him? I love him. I turned to the guy. Do you love her? Any leg will do. No, he's a loser. This is true. One girl called me up. She said, Pastor Wayne, my boyfriend said if I don't keep sleeping with him, he's going to kill himself. I said, give him the gun. If sex with you is more important than getting his life together, respecting you to the point where he's gonna give him the gun. Give him the gun. That's crazy. Now, that's just a joke, all right? Because I know some of you can write me letters. What did he tell? Murder him. You want murder him? Just joke. Maybe. But let me tell you why I'm so passionate about this, to get your love upgraded. Because remember, the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor with that same love. Never love your neighbor as yourself. Now, God says this love, getting this right, is the greatest commandment of all, upon which all other commandments hinge. He says, if you get this right, everything else will follow suit. If you get this wrong, nothing fits. This is a core. If you have this right and you define it correctly and you upgrade to God's love, it's like everything starts to clear up in life. But if you get this cloudy and it stays cloudy and you go off with a lack of knowledge on this and it's not very discerning, everything else in your life is going to be cloudy because this is one of the most important commandments of all. By the way, if you want to know what God esteems very, very important, just look and see what the devil counterfeits all the time. Because he's going to choose the most important things that God sees and deems as priority, and he's going to counterfeit it. Because he can't destroy love, so he just counterfeits it and gets you to buy into this cheap, immediately gratifying, come and do this even right now, feel good love. Well, just thousands buy into that. Because God's love is going to take some work. It's going to require some upgrading. But I tell you, that's the only kind that sustains life, your future, and the weight of what happens in lifetimes with families, marriages, etc. That's the quality, the grade of love that God wants us to build. So the devil says, oh, that's too hard. Let me give you this real quick one. It's sharper. It's marketed well, and everybody's doing it. And that's why you see lives falling apart all the time. And our television takes that and says, this is the kind of love that you need to have. And there's an opposition to upgrading love. But let me tell you, when you upgrade love and you do it God's way, everything clears up because that's the greatest commandment of all. And watch what the devil's going to counterfeit. You'll know what is important to God. So upgrade it, and it just clears things up. It's like when your love, your understanding, your definition, your calibration of love is correct in your mind, it's like all of a sudden life goes from old videos to high def TV. It's like things clear up. Oh, because if it's a fog here, everything's a fog. Do you remember when you watched the old videos like Bonanza or Little House on the Prairie? You thought it looked really good until it's put next to a high definition television of something that they've just shot in high def. You look at it and you think, oh man, that's fuzzy. And when I watched it, it looked good, but now I see it compared. It's really fuzzy. How many of you watch like Bonanza and those and you understand what I'm saying? Raise your hand. How many of you? Yeah, that's because you're old. I just know about it because I've researched it. I researched it. But I lied. I watched those. And so I watched those Bonanzas and things. And at the time you watched them, it's like, great. But now I look at high def and I think, oh, that's so much clearer. When you get love correct and you have a knowledgeable and discerning love, then all of a sudden your family, your marriage, your life, relationship, everything starts to move into high definition and you start to discern things. You're more perceptive because love is becoming, you're adding discernment to your love. And when that happens, you become more discerning about people, more discerning in resolving problems. Things start to clear up. You understand it a little bit better. That's why it's so important to upgrade your love. The first is God is saying, upgrade your love so that it's knowledgeable and discerning. So that when you come to a place at work and it's kind of gnarly, you see it more clearly. You see, because the second point of upgrading love has to do with this. Let's read the scripture first, and then we'll fill in the notes. So would you read it with me out of 1 Peter 4:8? Go. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. The scripture says this. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because, and actually the translation is, because this kind of love, or fervent love, covers, equals, a multitude of sins. Now, this word fervent, I want you to circle that. Reason is because the meaning of this in the Greek is a stretching and straining love. It means a quality of love that's elastic. We've got to upgrade to a love that's more elastic. So would you write in number two, a stretching and straining love? That's a kind of upgrading to that love, a stretching and straining love. You see, a lot of our loves are static, which means if you look like I want you to look, say what I want you to say, act like I want you to act, do what I want you to do, then I'll love you. But don't stretch me because I will snap. That's right. We snap before we stretch. We break before we bend. And so you got to fit into my expectations. Otherwise, I snap. But what God is saying is that kind of love will not sustain life at all. It has to be a stretching and a straining love. How many of you would agree that there's some people in your life that stretch and strain your love? Raise your hand. Yeah. Don't look at the person to your left. Don't look at the right. Yeah, that's right. There are people in our life that stretch and strain our love. But think about it. Think about the kind of love that God had to have, for He so loved the world. Just think of our sins, and that He had to stretch His love over to include us all with our sins and our warts and our foibles. You say, well, if I love somebody that's messing up, doesn't that mean like I endorse their sin or I'm passive about it? No. No. When God embraced me, watch this. He saw Wayne, but around him is filled with mistakes and sins and character flaws. But in order to get to that person on the inside, God knew that inside all of that sinful lifestyle was someone for whom he died. And the only way to get to me is to stretch his love and embrace me with all my stuff. And as he brought me closer, my sin and my foibles and my wrong points just sort of leached out until his love embraced me and pressed me into his heart. And then less and less of sin, more and more of just me next to his heart. Then I become more like him, less like my past. I die to the old. How did that happen? With his embrace of love. His love had to stretch and strain, as it were, to embrace me and bring me in close to himself. That's why the Bible says, keep fervent in your love for one another, because that's the same kind of love that redeemed us. And if we're going to redeem or do anything to reach out to others, we've got to have that stretching and straining love, because there's going to be times that there's going to be a pretty gnarly person, and we can look at him and marginalize him, X him out of our life, or because we still have a choice, or we say, let's love him. Yeah, that'll strain my love, and you'll feel it. Oh, let's love him. You say, but if you love them, then they won't change. No. It doesn't mean you're endorsing their sin. No, not at all. It just means you're going to resolve it within the acceptance of your love, rather than saying, you get your act together and then I'll love you. Because you see, when you do that, it's kind of like you've drawn a line. I'm on my side, you're on your side, get your act together, and then you can come in to my property, come in to my embrace, come in to my acceptance. But that's where wars happen, because we draw a line and I'm opposed to you, you may be opposed to me, but I'll love you when you get your act together. Now watch this. If I love my daughter, even in her sin, or my son, even when he messes up, I'm not saying you don't have to resolve your stuff anymore. No, I'm saying we're going to resolve it, but we're in this together. We're on the same side. We still work it out, but we're on the same side. Otherwise, if I don't, I say, get it together, but we ain't on the same side yet. And so you begin a war until you either fight and win, or he fights and loses, or you fight and he surrenders and a truce is made. But we're still on opposing sides. Here's what Jesus did. He embraced me with all my sins and he said, Wayne, we're still going to work this out, but we're on the same side. That's that kind of stretching and straining love that goes over a spouse that says, we're still going to work this out, but we're on the same side working it out. We're not on opposing sides until you do. You understand? So that's that stretching and straining love. No, it does not endorse sin. No, it doesn't blink at it or deny it's there. It's just saying, let's say to your spouse, we're in this together. Let's work it out. Now, of course, that person could reject that, but the Bible says as far as it depends on you, be at peace. You stretch and strain your love. That's why God says that kind of love is an upgraded love, and that's what's going to reach your neighbors. In fact, the Bible says, love thy neighbor. Yeah, there's a big difference between friends and neighbors. God doesn't say, love thy friends. If he did, I'd say, woo, that's easy. No, let me tell you the difference between a friend and a neighbor. Friend doesn't need stretching and straining love as much as a neighbor. Why? Because there's a big difference. What's the difference? Here it is. A friend is someone you choose. Your neighbor is someone God chooses. A friend is someone that I pick. Your neighbor is someone that God picked. You don't have any control over that. Neighbor maybe where you live or at the workplace or a fellow employee. Those are like neighbors. I've got friends I hang around with, but I have neighbors. And God says, not just love your friends. He says, love your neighbors. Now, in order to love your neighbor, you're going to have the quality of love called a stretching and straining love. Friends, easy. Neighbors, I got to stretch and strain. But you see, you can turn a neighbor into a friend only with a certain quality of love.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Upgrading Our Love by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.